You will increase your efficiency 20% if you learn to do the tough things first, the ones you don't want to do.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness,
adding value, showing that you have value,
to the downside of venture capital.
You will not own the company.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
If you're going to make it a consistent practice of working Saturdays just because you think you've got to work 80 hours a week to be successful, you're just flat out wrong.
Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO and today's guest host. I'm Rob Artigo, guest host for this edition of Tough Things First. I'm a screenwriter and I'm an entrepreneur in California. Happy to be back again, Ray.
Well, thanks, Rob. It's so good to be with you this day also.
Sure. Consider a business where the product is great. So we'll set that aside. The product is a good product, but the field that the product is being introduced into is crowded. Oftentimes, the sales pitch can be met with, I already have a guy who does that, or I already have somebody who provides those machines and I have a relationship with that person. Help us understand some strategies. And I know that you've had experience doing this in the sales world, is having to go into a market where you're presenting a product to somebody who already has that product being provided to them. But your product is different. Sure, your product may even be better. But you've got a situation where you have to get yourself in the door and convince somebody to try something new. How can we do that in the business world?
Well, that's a challenge because, this is not something new. This is not something that's happened in the last few years. People, again, resist change. And so when you go to your customer, he's going to resist change. He's not going to want to try something new because there's risk involved in anything new. And so what you have to do when you go in and visit with him is not to say, hey, I got this new thing. What you want to do is go in and say, here's how I can save you money. Here's how I can reduce the cost of your operation. Don't try to go in and say, hey, I got this new thing. It's revolutionary. That's going to turn them off. So the best way is to say, hey, I can cut your cost by 20% or 15 or 30 or whatever. Because it's got to be something north of 15 or he won't even look at it. But you say, okay, here's how I'm going to reduce your cost, or here's how I'm going to get you, improve your time, use of time. But it's got to be significant, well north of 15%, either in cost savings or time savings or something like that. So that's the way you really open the door.
I think of the movie quote, "Show me the money." Oftentimes, mm-hmm. That's what will catch someone's attention. And as a screenwriter, when I'm out pitching a screenplay or introducing a screenplay to somebody, oftentimes the most interesting thing to them is if they hear in the pitch, the very brief, say two, three sentences of what the story is about, do they see money coming at them? Do they see money? Do they see finances? Mm-hmm. And so what you're saying is show me the money. When you walk in there, a penny saved is a penny earned. So you're saying, hey, look, I can present to you a 15% increase in your revenue from this.
Or a reduction in cost.
Yeah, reduction in cost.
Somewhere he's got to see the value in the proposition. Avoid saying, hey, I got the best this and that, or I got the newest and the latest and the greatest. That's not going to entice them to listen. What you want to tell them is this is going to save you a ton of money, or this is going to improve your revenue or improve your efficiency or your effectiveness. And just really, keep it sharp and crisp. Do sound bites. Today we're not interested in long pitches. We like short, crisp pitches.
What about walking in there and say, let's say you go overboard a little bit and you're overzealous and you decide that you're going to say, hey, look, everybody else is charging $100 for this thing. I'm going to go in there and I'm saying, I'm going to charge because I want to get in the door with this big client. I'm going to charge him 50. And then do you think as the buyer, you're going to go, uh-oh, there's got to be something wrong with this?
You could. I mean, you don't get something for nothing. So everything has a penalty to pay. I remember getting this whiz-bangy software package that was supposed to help reduce costs, once it was implemented, but the cost of implementation was really high. And what I learned was, is that it took a lot longer and a lot more time and effort than actually the savings was worth. So, for everything that we implement is a cost. So you got to make sure that the implementation is straightforward and achievable in a reasonable period of time at a reasonable cost, because it'll eat up the cost savings just in trying to implement the change.
If you're the buyer, what kind of questions are you going to be asking when somebody walks in? Let's say they are offering you a promise of a 15% savings on costs or reduction in work time. And so that turns into, real money at the end. What are you asking them to make sure that you are so that they're providing you what you want?
What are the net savings? In other words, there's a cost associated with putting your system in place, or your idea incorporated into the organization. So, what does it cost me to implement it? And so, what is my net savings going to be once I implement this project?
I think of automatically. Suddenly, I just came to this picture of a solar panel commercial on television. And they say, this is how much it'll save you from your electric bill. And you go, oh, that sounds really great. And then you find out that really the savings will only kick in after about 5 years because of the amount of cost that you're putting in up front. That's the kind of thing you want to know.
That's the exact example of what I'm talking about. They want to make it sound like it's nothing. They're like, here, all you're going to save is you're just going to get all these savings. But what they don't tell you is that you got to put a new roof on your house and you got to make some structural changes to beef up the weight of that, putting the solar panels on. I mean, there are some costs to an implementation. I learned that when we changed our driveway from a concrete driveway to a paver, it was not that simple. They had to tear, go all the way down, a couple of feet, and put in a different kind of a base system, because on a concrete driveway the water just runs off, but in a paver the water actually goes down through the pavers, and so you have to have a way to carry the water off, and there was a cost associated with that they didn't tell me about.
I call that mission creep, and I had that experience at a major home organization, a big box store, and I went in there and got some help getting an island built for my kitchen. So I was doing like half the kitchen rebuild one day, and then hopefully later on down the road I would do the other half. But I started with the island, which has a cooktop on it and has drawers and storage space and a nice marble top. And what happened was I got an estimate on how much that would cost. And as the time went by, there was like, oh, yeah, and then you need to get these things that go in here like this, and that's going to cost you a certain amount of money. Oh, okay, that's interesting. Then they got to ship it from Florida, so that's going to cost you another $300. And then as you go along, you go, why didn't just – this stuff is not a mystery. It should be in the original estimate. You know what I mean? It's not something that they have to invent it. It had to go there in the first place. You just didn't tell me about it.
I know they intentionally didn't want you to know that, because that would discourage you. So they're not going to tell you those hidden costs, as they say. And with any implementation, there's a hidden cost. For example, when we put this new software system in at Micrel, the employees were having a difficult time accepting it because they had to learn something new. And that was a challenge for them. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. They just rock along with what they had. And so when we tried to implement it, they were complaining, I don't like the way this interface is. I want this is, taking me away from the way I used to interact with my customers. And they just complain. So, you got to take that in consideration too, that anytime you implement something new, there's going to be some resistance by the employees. Mm.
Thank you, Ray. Very interesting subject.
You're welcome. Thank you for taking the time with me today, Rob.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO, Ray Zinn. drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.